Hey, on Friday, August 18th, Portland Resistance will be holding a peaceful rally and march in solidarity with the community of Charlottesville, Virginia. Friday's action is important. This situation is serious, really serious. So Friday, August 18th at 5:30 p.m. That's Friday, August 18th at 5:30 p.m. The Salmon Street Fountain by the river.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. Always a good day to fight the Empire. We're going to go back to the year of 1845. All across the Irish countryside, people were starving at the same time as the English landlords were exporting crops. So you can see that free trade was big then, too. Well, millions starved to death and millions left Ireland. And the cheapest passage to America was on what they call the coffin ships, where the rations were very small and people were crowded in these ramshackle boats. And these coffin ships were often followed by sharks eating the bodies of people as they were dropped overboard. So you can imagine a young Irish man, he makes it to the United States on board a coffin ship, coming down the gangplank to freedom and prosperity. There is a recruiting officer waiting for him, drafting him into the American Army. This happened quite often. Some were drafted, some joined up. The Irish were not very well treated in the Army. Of course, the armies are what they are. But the American Army was sort of generally a Protestant organization. These Irish Catholics were made to attend Protestant worship services, and they were discriminated against. All this in addition to the usual hardships of armies everywhere. Well, in 1845-46, that's when America's war with Mexico broke out. And so these Irish soldiers found themselves down there in Texas, preparing to invade another nation. And many of them, they thought it over and they switched sides for a variety of reasons: the discrimination that they felt in the U.S. Army, also the they shared a religion with the Mexicans, and maybe most important of all, they realized that they would be fighting in the service of an empire very much like the one that they had left when they came to these shores. And so some of them, they switched sides, and they formed within the Mexican army, they formed their own battalion, named after St. Patrick and called the San Patricio Battalion. And so they fought for the Mexicans' side under they had their own banner, a green St. Patrick banner with a harp and a shamrock, and they fought several battles. They were led by an artillery soldier named John Riley, who was from the town of coastal town of Clifton in Connemara in County Galway. And he was the leader of this group. They were mostly Irish, although there were some German recruits from Texas and other nationalities. And so John Riley was a very accomplished artillery soldier. And so they fought in one of their first battles was the Battle of Monterey. where they proved their artillery skill. They beat back three Yankee assaults. That was followed by the Battle of Buena Vista, and then the Battle of Churubusco, which happened on August 20th, 1847. So this is sort of like an anniversary of that. There was a big kind of a convent at Churubusco, and in that battle, San Patricios lost the battle, but 35 of their men were killed, and 85 men were captured, including John Riley himself. And they were executed. 50 of them were executed, and they were lined. They were 50 of them were on this giant scaffold, and the colonel in charge is Colonel William Harney. Take a little sidetrack here. Colonel William Harney was a rather ruthless army officer. He was twice disciplined for insubordination. And during the Indian Wars, he was actually accused of raping Indian girls at night and then hanging them in the morning. Well, that was Colonel William Harney. And guess what? After later on, he became the commander of the Oregon Department, and Harney County is named after this guy. So anyway, Colonel William Harney was overseeing the execution of these 50 San Patricio soldiers, and but he waited until nearby there was another battle going on at Chapultepec, and the Yankees were attacking, and he was waiting for them to take the citadel of Chapultepec and raise their flag. So these 50 Irish soldiers were waiting for hours on the scaffold before Colonel Harney gave the orders. And they were executed at Chapultepec in full view of the battle of the armies that were fighting this battle. And so while they were waiting, Harney was taunted and jeered by these condemned men. And one of the people that was due to be hanged was a man named Francis O'Connor, who had had both legs amputated the previous day. When the army surgeon informed Colonel Harney that the soldier had lost both legs in battle, Harney replied, quote, "Bring the damn son of a bitch out. My order was to hang 30, and by God, I'll do it." Well, the U.S. U.S. flag appeared on the flagpole at 9:30 a.m., and sort of in a final act of defiance, these men about to be hanged cheered the Mexican flag as one onlooker remarked, "Hands tied, feet tied, their voices still free." And then at Harney's signal, the carts holding these tied and noosed men pulled away. And so they were hanging there, and Harney refused to cut the bodies down, stating that, quote, "I was ordered to have them hanged and have no orders to unhang them." Well, that was sort of the final defeat for the San Patricio Battalion. They were executed, and Harney went on to greater things here in Oregon, and then he later was in the one of the commanding generals in the Civil War. Not too much is known about John Riley. There are different legends about him. He was said to have died in Veracruz, but that has been disputed. But the undeniable fact is that here were army soldiers who fought the good fight, even though they went down a defeat. And to this day, they are considered heroes in Mexico. Their streets and all sorts of things are named after them in Mexico. And the Mexican government several years back donated a statue of John Riley to the town of Clifton. And every September 12th, there is a ceremony in Clifton honoring the men of the battalion, the Los San Patricios. So I thought this is an interesting bit of history that people should be aware of. It's very instructive. It tells what the fight is not over until it's over. The fight is still going on. The struggle is continuing to this day. Another anniversary that's coming up. Actually, a week from today. Is the on August 24th, 1791, the rebel slaves in Haiti were meeting with Vodun priests in a place called Bois Caiman, and this was there was a kind of a Vodun ceremony inaugurating the first major slave rebellion of the Haitian Revolution. That happened on August 24th. And the slave rebellion eventually succeeded in a way. Haiti won it. At that time, Haiti was called Saint-Domingue, and it was the richest colony in the New World, the so-called New World. But the Haitians defeated the French, and one thing this led to was the French had all sorts of grand designs for the United States, for America. They sold this is the sort of what brought about the Louisiana Purchase, where President Thomas Jefferson bought claims. To all this land west of the Mississippi that the French claimed to own. In a way, it was like Jefferson was buying stolen property or claims to stolen property because nobody consulted with the Indians who lived there. But this was the origin of the Louisiana Purchase. Thomas Jefferson, in some ways, I think he was a very unsavory character. We know a lot about his relationship with his slave Sally Hemings, which produced I don't know how many children, which began when she was, I believe, 14 years old. And Thomas Jefferson was also really alarmed by the success of the Haitian slave rebellion. He feared that it would spread to the United States. And so... I think we should observe that. What happened with the Haitians, they won their victory, and immediately they were saddled with this debt. They had to repay the French for loss of property, namely the slaves that they themselves used to be. And it took years and years and years for Haiti to pay off that debt. They are still saddled with debt now in different ways. When you read the history of Haiti, I can't think of any country in the Western Hemisphere that was screwed over as much as the Haitians by the European empires. They're still struggling to be free. And so we might observe next Thursday, we might observe the beginning of this at Bois Caiman, which means the Bois is a forest, and that's where they met, in a forest outside the plantation. There's a very interesting article. Regular listeners might remember that we have interviewed Pepe Escobar a few times on this show. He is from Brazil originally, but he travels around quite a bit, and he's written a lot about Asia and the Eurasian sort of economic—I wouldn't call it an empire, but an entity sort of that is kind of being built very slowly by Russia and China and the various Turkic nations, and that is will be is coming to be the center of the global economy, such as it is. Well, Pepe Escobar is a very interesting article. He writes for Asia Times and Sputnik and a bunch of other news sources. This article was in Sputnik News, and it's entitled, "Is North Korea Showing the Emperor Is Naked?" And what he says in this is that he points out, you know, there's been a huge uproar now about these North Korean nukes and missiles and whether they can reach this country or not, and whether they could survive reentry into the atmosphere and whatever. But Pepe Escobar points out that actually North Korea could destroy the South Korean capital of Seoul with non-nuclear artillery. They're only a few miles away from the border. And if they were attacked, they could destroy Seoul. And also, according to Escobar, the North has submarine-launched missiles are available. So if they had submarines, they could bring them right up to the shores of this country. And so they don't really need to have intercontinental nuclear missiles. And South Korea realizes this, and they are afraid. One of their fears is that the U.S., so concerned about the safety of its own people, is ready to any war that starts out with the U.S. and North Korea, South Korea would definitely be collateral damage. And it's interesting to note that there are about 30,000 U.S. troops in South Korea who would also be collateral damage. And so according to Pepe Escobar, the South Korea is engaging right now with secret talks with China, trying to resolve this situation. Well, apparently it is succeeding. The war talk is dying down, at least for the time being. And they're also, so you can see what this sort of empire run amok is producing. You know, every time Donald Trump talks tough about Korea, the South Koreans get quite alarmed and is driving them sort of into the arms of China. And one interesting thing that came out about a month or so ago was that China had is including both Koreas in its One Belt Initiative, its Eurasian entity. And so the U.S., as the U.S. drives Korea into the arms of China, there is one more component of this Eurasian economic union that is slowly building. And so at the other end of the of Eurasia, we have secret talks going on between Germany and Russia. The U.S. is imposing sanctions on Russia for various crimes attributed to Putin and his allies. And the reason for this is that the U.S. wants to sell its natural gas to Europe. Well, U.S. natural gas, to sell it to Europe, you have to liquefy it, put it on tankers, and then go across the ocean to Europe. And it's, so our gas is much more expensive to the Europeans than the Russian gas, which they can just get by pipeline. So this whole thing about sanctions against Russia is a little ploy to sort of foist U.S. natural gas onto Europe, even though it might be good for our interests, but it does not please the Europeans. And so, according to Pepe Escobar, there are secret talks and negotiations going on between the Europeans, especially Germany and Russia. So you can see how this tough talk and tough sanctions and everything is backfiring on the empire. It is 10 minutes to 10 right now. If people want to call in with any comment or questions, the number is 503-231-8187. There is also, I'd like to bring to your attention another interesting article. This comes from Consortium News, which is a really valuable news source. It's edited, and it was founded by Robert Parry, who's a longtime journalist. He was the one who broke stories back in the 80s about the CIA drug involvement in the Central American wars. And he is based now in Washington, D.C. He is one of the independent journalists who is not part of what he calls the Washington groupthink, which sort of attributes everything bad to Russia and Mr. Putin. And there's an article in Consortium News from August 15th, and the gist of it is that there is a Ukrainian link to North Korea's missiles. There is a factory in Ukraine which produces advanced missile engines, and apparently these have been turning up in, there's evidence that North Korea has them or is about to get them, and they come from our ally, our supposed ally in Ukraine. We might recall what happened in Ukraine, what was it, 2 years ago in 2014, where an elected president, Mr. Yanukovych, was overthrown by street protests, street rallies in Kiev. Don't forget, he was elected, and he was forced out of office, sort of fled for his life. And even though he had offered to stand for an election within a few months, this is not good enough for the his opponents. So he was driven out of office. And so a new government arose in Ukraine, which included several neo-Nazis. Now, we, you know, recently we were treated to the spectacle of American neo-Nazis with their little tiki torches marching through the campus at Charlottesville in Virginia. Is very reminiscent of the marches at the there were torchlight parades through Kiev. I've seen pictures, I've seen videos of them. These are neo-Nazis in Ukraine, but they are our allies. Senator John McCain has been there to visit with these guys, and some of them are, there is the Azov Battalion, and there is the Right Sector. There are a whole bunch of militias, and they actually wear little Nazi swastikas on their helmets. But these guys are okay. These guys are okay with our empire because they are lining up against Russia. I would say probably the reason for this is I think there's long been a kind of visceral U.S. or Western fear of Russia because it's such a big country. It's the biggest country in the world. And it also has a, you know, its tradition is not the same as ours. It's a mostly Christian nation, but it's a Russian Orthodox version of Christianity, which has its own feud with the Roman Catholic Church going back to practically the beginning of Christianity. And so this antipathy to Russia has been around for a long time, and it continues. And so since the Ukrainians kind of, they have their own version of the Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church, and their government includes a lot of neo-Nazis, so they are okay with our guys. And so this article, but meanwhile, the Ukrainian economy is not doing well. They have their factories that are producing rocket engines, and apparently some of these rocket engines are winding up in North Korea. So there's a study, The Ways of Empire, the double dealing and hypocrisy is really quite amazing. Think of that when you see pictures of torchlight of the Nazis marching with their flaming torches. Ask yourself, it might be American Nazis, or it could be Ukrainian Nazis, or who knows? It could be almost. We seem to gravitate towards right wingers and Nazis all around the world, but that is a whole different story. But anyway, I wanted to sort of bring all these facts, and this is the things that are going on today do have a history. And one of the histories, inspiring stories from history to me is the San Patricio Battalion. These were the Irish soldiers who, back in the days of our war of aggression against Mexico, they saw the truth, they saw that whose side was the right side, and they fought bravely for that side. And many of them paid with their lives, and they are remembered today in Mexico, and they should be remembered here in this country because they fought a noble battle, even though their cause is lost. And when you think of the ramifications, the results of our so-called victory over Mexico, a lot of our problems with immigration and everything else can be traced back to that, traced back to the invasion of Mexico, the U.S. stealing about 40% of Mexico's territory. They moved the borders, but they didn't move the people. And so, and this is, of course, followed up by centuries of war in Central America that produces people fleeing for their lives against the sort of neo-fascist governments that we set up in Central America. So war has its consequences, not always the ones we think we're going to get. And so on this day of I would like to commemorate the battalion Los San Patricios, who fought the good fight. And stay tuned for always something good coming up on KBOO, your radio station.
All right, thank you, Per. Welcome back. It is KBOO Portland, a couple minutes now before 10 o'clock on your Thursday. We've got Dennis Bernstein hosting Flashpoints at 10:15 this morning. Then at 11, it's an hour-long Between the Covers. Your host, David Naiman, will be speaking to author Yanara Friedlin about her book Uncountry, A Mythology, a poetic reimagining of myth. That's all coming up right after Air Cascadia. That starts at 10 in just a couple minutes. It's headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Stick around. Hey, KBOO keeps you informed and involved, and we need your help. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 34th annual Hawthorne Street Fair, Sunday, August 27th on Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. The Hawthorne Street Fair, now in its 34th year, features music, activities for kids and adults alike, entertainment, local businesses, and community vendors. Again, that's the 34th annual Hawthorne Street Fair, Sunday, August 27th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee is the third Thursday of each month at 5 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.